But in chapter 4 tonight, I'd like to preach on "Are You Tired of the Fight?" God gave me this message out in Oklahoma. I preached it nowhere but there. But I got up and preached to my friends. These men were my friends. One of them came and told me, said, I'd like to come to your camp meeting. And then I asked him if I had some real nice rooms in the Ramada Inn, and he said, could I pay for my own room? Could I just stay there by myself and maybe get down here and pray and get a hold of God? He said, you know, I ain't been in a camp meeting like this in 20 years. This man quit. Are you listening? There's men in here this week been down there talking to me. You want to quit. You want to quit. One man said, I'm just working too much. Quit. Just quit working. God called you to preach. One man said, I got a school and it's driving me crazy. Haul them kids down 12 miles. There's another school. Just haul them down to them and keep on preaching. If anything stops you from preaching, it's of the devil. And that means that old stringy-headed wife you got too. Amen. Don't make no difference. Whatever it is, whatever it is. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Any more of you folks want to leave, leave. Now, I've got further to go than y'all have. I'm going to drive to Houston when I get through preaching. I'm going to walk out, get in my car. It doesn't got the luck. And I'm going to drive it 1,200 miles. So now, if you need to go home or need to go to the bathroom, you got kidney trouble, go now. Amen. I'm going to preach. Amen. Amen. You sound like it. I don't care. I drove 1,200 miles up and drive 1,200 miles home. I'm going to preach. Amen? You say, well, that's got the late shows on. It's done too late. You don't need no how. Preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering. That's where you need to do it. And doctrine. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves preachers having itching ears. It don't say that. It said teachers. Well, somebody to build up your intellect, and nobody to lay a demand at your heart's door that you got to be set do what you've been taught. A preacher builds up your intellect and your faith to do what the preacher said. But this crazy, mixed up world hates preaching. And preachers do too. Preaching is hard work. Amen. You say, well, they don't know hard work for me. You ain't doing it. They shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You say, I thought we were going to shout it out tonight. Y'all shout it out Saturday night. Watch down all things. Endure affliction. Do the work. 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 That dirty four-letter word in American language. Work. That's the nastiest word in the English language. Church members don't like to do it. Nobody likes it. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You know, I hear a lot of young men say, God called me to be an evangelist. Well, do the work. What is, I met one real evangelist. I know he's an evangelist. He's a real one. And he's as black as a tie. He's as blind as a bat. And he's an old pimp and an old thief. And God saved him. And when God saved him, God called him to preach. But he wasn't blind then. And a prostitute run up there one day and dashed his face full of lies. Burned his eyes out. He kept standing on that preacher, on that corner. And I said, what did God call you to do? He said, God called me to be an evangelist. I said, do you ever leave Beaumont, Texas? He said, I ain't never been out of city limits. I said, why do you evangelize? He said, I evangelize him. He wore a blue suit, had a gold chain. He dressed immaculate, one of the finest men you ever met in your life. He said, I evangelize in the jail. I evangelize on the street corner. I evangelize in the rest home. I evangelize wherever a sinner's at. He said, I am an evangelist. I said, I got a witness. There ain't nothing in this Bible about an evangelist going around entertaining the saints. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, somebody said, boy, I just love to hear. Listen, this Bible said, make full proof. And bless God, if God calls you to be an evangelist, that means that God is going to win some lost people through you. Now, Bob Jones told me in person, I said, Dr. Bob, would you please, in a motel room, explain that God calls you to be an evangelist? He said, God called me, Jack. He said, to stir people up to win souls. He said, I win souls because I'm a Christian. He said, I stir other people to win souls because I'm an evangelist. He had the proof too, buddy. Junior ain't got the proof, but he had the proof. You remember there in verse 7, I fought a good fight. My neighbor come up to me the other day. He was very religious. He was a Lutheran from Denmark. He got an old wife. That sucker's ugly as a moose. And I mean, got a personality like one, too. Well, I mean, that's the wickedest woman I've ever seen in my life. That's the ugliest old woman I've ever seen in my life. She just walks around. She's just born ugly. Just eat up with it. You've seen people that way. That man said, why out here in Texas all these Baptists fight? I said, we like it. He said, but don't you think in the church you ought to be reverent? I said, no. Paul said, fight a good fight. And the Baptist church, honey, is a fight. And you know what you're trying to get? You want everybody to be peaceful. Well, the Bible said they'll say peace, peace, when there ain't none. Ain't gonna be no peace. It's fight. This thing is a fight. This thing is a battle. And I'm enjoying it. I mean, all my life. I used to come home on Saturday night, my head be skin all up. And you know, I had an old bulldog. I loved that old brown dog. I called him Brown. He slept in the bed with me. Ugliest, stinkingest dog you ever seen in your life. And he'd come in Saturday night, and he'd been down in Nigger Town, and he didn't have no ear. One of his eyes was cut till his eyeball looked funny. And I'd tell him, Brownie, I love you. You my kind, boy. He liked to fight. He'd just see a cat and just kill him. That's why I loved him. I seen some guy up here running for a senator or something. I told Betty Payne, I said, I wouldn't vote for him. She said, why? I said, look at his kids. Both of them got a cat apiece. Wouldn't vote for him. I hate him. I hate him. God knows I hate him. God knows I hate him. I let a missionary one time live in my house. And I told him, I said, you can live there if you don't, but your wife can't bring that cat in. And my wife was in the hospital. And I let that missionary say that, and I come back and had a cat in my house. I said, get out of my house. You're your cat, too. Yeah. And I said, yeah, you're going to be scratched up now. I'm telling you, get on out of here. Don't get out of my house. There's no cat in my house. You say, oh, I just love them. You're weird. You're from that good. I mean, all demon possessed. You ever notice them? He said, I fought a good fight. You ever notice why your husband calls you an old cat all the time? I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You remember when you enjoyed the fight? You know, to be a fighter, I asked my dad one time. My dad, he's a fighting fanatic. I said, Daddy, who was one of the greatest fighters? He said, well, He said, I guess, Jack, he said, Bob Fitzsimmons was the most handicapped. He weighed 156 pounds when he won the champion of the world. He's the heavyweight champion of the world, weighed 156 pounds. They called him the freak of the ring. He fought Big Jim Jeffrey, 26 rounds, broke both his hands. Fought him 26 rounds. He said, here's the fighter. But he said, you know, he said, Jack, he said, you know, he said, Joe Louis had something that nobody else could have. He said, you could knock him down, and he could get up and knock you out. There's a lot of Christians, when they get knocked down, they can't never get back up. They sit around and suck their thumb and say, you don't know what they've done to me. I'm telling you what they've done to me. They took my little trophy. I was going to get for running that bus, and they didn't give it to me, and they gave it to her, and I ain't never going back. And I went down to a church, and they didn't like me. I ain't never been to a church where they liked me. So whatever I do, just whatever God tells me to do. And sometimes He don't tell me to do. I ain't going to blame with all of it. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a fighter, you're going to have a trainer. But you live long enough to know something about it. Jack Dempsey got whipped in the corner. He's the greatest fighter that ever lived. But when he fought his manager for S.L. Taylor, a movie star, he got whipped, boy. Because he ain't no movie star. Can train no fighter. But he had a man in that corner could train a fighter because he trained three of the greatest men ever climbed in the ring. And I know tonight we're talking about a spiritual war, and it's on tonight. It's on tonight. It's on tonight. There's evangelists and preachers, you know. They said, the reason that I didn't come down to this, look, you little sissy, you call them up, tell them, they got lace on their drawers. The reason they didn't come, they were afraid. They said, the reason I didn't come is it's called Dr. Ruckman's stand on divorce, or what, Brother Jack? You ain't never been married before, have you? You've been preaching all week. I wonder why I didn't come hear you. Why didn't come here, Don Green? Why didn't come here, Don Green? Well, you say, well, you know, he preaches on them little funny things. He didn't preach on glasses. You know what he preached on this week? Liberty in the Lord. Why didn't they come? Because you can't take it, you little sissy. Your wife wouldn't let you come. That's why you didn't come. That's why. Pinch that baby now and get up and walk out. Amen? Remember when you enjoyed the fight. Well, I just remember where I used to live. About 35, 40 miles, if I were. Brother Danny Farley, probably they call it Casey's Ridge. Now, them old boys up there, they was different. All the hoodlums lived downtown. But up on Casey's Ridge, they cut pulpwood for a living. I mean, them old East Texas boys, all they ever did was fight them rattlesnakes down there and them big old mosquitoes. And they'd come into town, they'd just tear their shirt sleeves out. They'd just tear them out. Put their overalls on. I mean, they'd be starched and iron. And Saturday night, they'd come to town. They had a place called Club 66. Nobody insane people went in there. I mean, they had arms that big. They called them, when they was floating that pup, they called them sticks. Is that big around? You know what they hated worse than anything? Weed heads. Anybody combed their hair around the back, that's where I combed mine. Anybody wore their britches way down low, that's the way I wore mine. Anybody wore their hat turned up in the front, they hated them. You know what? I didn't ever go out there. I just heard about it. One guy asked me one night, said, you want to go with me? I said, you got a cannon? He said, no. I said, forget it, man. That'll be Custer's last stand up there. No. I ain't enjoy it. But hey, I got called into the battle of the Lord. And this Bible said, fight a good fight. And God said, remember when you enjoyed it? And when you enjoyed it, you knew who your enemy was. You knew who your enemy was. Hey, we were his enemy. Remember? Remember when you got started? You enjoyed the fight. You knew who your enemy was? And you were his enemy. Nowadays, man, you talk to these preachers, you don't know who their enemy was. And they ain't enemy to nobody. We were all together on these issues. Whether it's doctrinal, soul winning, modernist, old Norman Vincent Peale, two or three more of the crowd need to be peeled. Amen? We're all together. We're all together. We pulled out of the Southern Baptist Convention for a lot less than what these independents are doing now. There's nothing cheap about the war that some of us have been in through the years. But we've enjoyed it. I've just literally enjoyed it. I was having a foot wash the other day. You saw him bleeding that way. Well, I don't care if you bleed or not. You ought to wash your stinking feet sometime or other. But you know, I was up here behind the pulpit, you know, and there was a guy, it was a good while back, and it was an evangelist that just happened to be this and in our church. And Spirit of God just really spoke me. He was having the Lord's Supper, what he was doing. I have it every 6-7 years. And so we was having the Lord's Supper. I let my wife talk me into it. And we had it out being real reverent about it, you know. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, wash old Bush's feet. So I went over and got me a bucket and run it for him. Got me a towel and I come in. Reached down, got old Bush's boots, pulled them off. I washed his feet. He said, that's a wicked sin. Why? Wash your feet if I want to. And I said, Lord, what do you want me? And so the next service, I walked in about $500 worth of fishing equipment laying right up here. I said, what's all that fishing equipment doing up here? Big old boxes and big old rods. I don't even know what they're for. I couldn't work one of them things. There they were. His brother was sitting right next to him. His brother, one of the best men in my church. And he said, how come he didn't wash my feet? God, the Holy Ghost said, because you ain't been doing nothing, you don't need your feet washed. And old Bush had been pushing them wheelchairs up and down the street and bringing them crippled and lame and maimed people in and getting them saved. And old Brother Bobby started homing. He said, you know why you're not a fisherman for the Lord? For you spend all your time fishing. And he done. I mean, he had a belt with a fish on it. Had a hook on his collar. He had hook everywhere. And he's hooked. That man laid that stuff on the altar. He started winning. It's sure freezing up in here. But I mean, God, just God. Oh, shut your mouth. And wait till you hear the rest of the message. You're way ahead of me. I took all that stuff over and sold it to my brother-in-law. Man, hundreds of dollars worth. I sold it to him. More crazy brother-in-law died. Old Bobby got right with God. Become one of the best soul winners in our church. He got a Friday service where 4,000 men he's got access to in the jail. I mean, he's a chaplain. He just walks in there, wins them to God. The other day, my sister walked up to him and said, Bobby, you know my husband died. Would you like to have all that fishing gear back? And he's still fishing. He said, yes, ma'am, I really would. Hey, he did what God told him. And God washed his feet. See, you was way ahead of me, wasn't you? You was way ahead of me. That's the way Baptists are. They're way ahead of the sermon. See, you know too much. You know too much. You was already fixing to say, hey, man, he's going to preach on fishing. I love the fish. If they ain't biting. I like to get me a watermelon about that long. Get up on a creek, no fish biting. Get under a tree. And I mean, just lay down just like a nigger and eat that watermelon. I love that. And I want none of them biting. I just love the fish. When they ain't biting. They took me to a psychiatrist one time, my mother did. They said I needed it. And the doctor said, is there anything in sports you like? I said, nothing. He said, is there anything you like to do? I said, shoot dope. I was lost, wicked. He said, anything else you like to do? I said, yes, steal money. I love it. I love it. Green money. I love to steal it. I love to count it. I love to count them morphine tablets and dialogue tablets and powder tablets. I love to count them because it's thousands of them. I love that. He said, ain't no sport, nothing you like. I said, I like to see two pool sharks play one box. I love to watch them. But I don't love to play it. Takes too much energy. When I got saved, I said, when I got saved, God called me and put me in the fight. Then He trained me for the fight. Then He said, son, there's going to be some tests in this fight. And sometimes you fight and lose that you might learn not to lose again. Amen? My dad said, better watch Lewis's left. Bang! He's going to Kansas. He said, I'm telling you, Jack, he'd kill you with that 6-inch left. But listen tonight. You remember, preacher, when you enjoyed the fight? You remember when there was excitement in the fight of the Lord? Brother Danny, he's been with me all these years, and Gary Luther. I whipped old Gary Luther's wife one night. I picked her up and hung her. Remember, Gary? I hung her over a banister, 3-story down. I said, you crazy broad, you ever flew? She's crazy, man. Got me, made me mad. I mean, I got mad. She had an old husband, and he come down and jumped on me, and I hit him between his eyes and knocked him down. He was like, he said, my son, I knocked that fool down, and he got said, man, I'm going to show you some karate. And I said, bam, I'll show you some number 12 boots. Yeah. Now, I picked that old broad up, and I said, you ever fly? Call my church 25 times during the invitation. I hung over that thing, and she said, God, save me. That crazy fool said, throw her, preacher, throw her. You said, brother, good. I wouldn't do that. I can tell that by looking at your face. You don't have to tell me that. You don't have to tell me that. You don't have to tell me none of that. Well, Brother Carl, wouldn't you look pretty running this church the last 40 years? Just look at some of these young preachers out here. If you had all that nice guy, you know, no bulldog attitude, huh? I'm going to tell you something, man, you got to be about a half pit bulldog, Pastor Church. He said, I'll have you. No, you don't know nothing. You just hung on, cowboy. I've been around here 33 years in this thing. 12th day of this month makes 33 years. That's a third of a century. And that's a while. And you put 50 more in that, that's 80. I'm giving you 80-some-odd years of experience tonight. This battle is exciting. Well, I went down there, preacher. I did. I'm going to be honest with you, brother. I had the biggest time I ever had in my life at your church. I was in here. Man, I was up there preaching one night. And God just kind of nudged me. And Brother Odom's such a, you know, he's such a gentleman. And I didn't know he was having a whole bunch of problems and trouble. And I was up there just preaching away, Brother Pete. And I said, you dirty low down skunk, you. I said, you want to keep the money? And I said, your daughter out there in the car messing around with some old boy having a baby, and your wife won't come to church. And he froze up. And I was looking in my eye when I was preaching. I said, are you listening to me? And I walked back there, and that's still a great big guy, man. About like you, buddy. Great big guy. And I said, what are you supposed to be, big boy? He said, I'm a deacon around here. And I said, why don't you make them deacon leave this old preacher alone where he can pass this church? I said, Fred, are you a man? He said, you better believe I'm a man. I walked over to another guy. He kind of limped when he walked. Looked like a coal miner, his shoulders up wide. I walked over and I said, what are you supposed to be around this church? He said, I'm a deacon. I said, won't you get them a dirty bunch of deacons off this old man of God where he preached? Yeah. And Brother Odom booked me back for another meeting, and they all left. I don't know who I was shooting at one that Sunday morning. Brother Odom said, you ain't leaving here. He said, you preaching her? And I preached on covetousness. I didn't know that. I didn't know they was trying to give you that house, and the people voted to give him the house, but you know, he's a nice guy. That's a nice guy, but he gets ugly too sometimes. And they voted to give him the house, but two men, no sir, we're not giving that house for nothing. He built that house with his own hands. His wife took a crowbar, a wheelbar, and pushed the block on. No! I got a friend. I didn't know nothing about it. I stayed in this gentleman's house, and he wouldn't say nothing. Anybody knows God, he wouldn't say nothing to you. And I got up there, and I said, some of you people, y'all got them $40,000 jobs working GMC. You got your little house out in the country where you're going to retire, where you can get away from God, and where you can get away from this church. But this old man of God, he don't deserve no retirement, and he don't deserve no house. My church came over here a while back, and they told me, don't give you this house. About a $75,000, $80,000, they gave it to me. I said, you know, I always want to give away $80,000 and get back to you. I wouldn't take it. But I got my own reasons. One of them's the infernal revenue. And you know, people got mad when I said that, Brother Garland. And one guy, he got up and started walking out. And I said, you know what? Be a real blessing this church. There's about 5-6 more of y'all walk out. That's right. Oh, man, let me tell you something. Losing some of the people sitting in this church tonight, if you'd lose him out of this church, it'd be just like losing polio. Polio. You said, but what else? You going to cry when I'm gone, honey. We're going to shout when you go. I started to pull out of town. I was going down Florida somewhere. I started to pull out of town. I was on an old bus. And I looked in the mail, and it said, we want Miss So-and-so's letter and Mr. So-and-so's letter. I said, stop this bus. I said, everybody in favor of moving a letter right now? Say amen. Everybody said amen. Church in session. I wrote the letter out, mailed it that night. Because I didn't want them to change their mind. So, I moved the letter, Brother Carl. I moved that. That's God, they wanted to go. I met that lady the other day in that Lippis. And I just looked at that ugly sucker and it ruined my whole day. Just ruined my whole day. Lord, I tell you, her husband got a lot of guts. Oh, I enjoyed the Bible. I believe old David just went out there, bam, he hit that bear and killed him. So what do you think about that? Man, a lion come over there and said, hey, boy, leave the sheep alone. Stand on to it. You going to fight? The Bible said with his hand, boom, broke his neck. Whew. Big cussing giant, he walked up and said, yeah, but I'm the head deacon right here. And that little priest said, he said, I feel definitely led of God to leave. Do you know where there's another church, Brother Odom? Brother Eastep, would you pray about it? That the Lord would open some doors. Because I don't believe them people down there want nothing. No, them people might not want nothing, but God might want you down there. You know what I like to do? I like to rope a Bremer bull. The delight of my heart, I've cowboyed all my life. I love to get a rope on a big old Bremer bull, weigh about 1,400, with a big 1,300-pound cow horse, and just drag him in a chute. Run and block his neck. Reach out and get him grabbed. Cut off his old horn. He said, big boy, what's that about that? And that's what I like to do, deacons. I like to get him with sharp horns. Sharp horns. Get that rope, that gospel around that. Bam! Get about 3 trees. You go by. Boom, 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 boom. Push him in a chute. Lock that door. Stick his head in there. Cut his horns off. And then stick your tongue out of it. John Mitchell sitting here tonight. Little old sissy fired preacher. John Mitchell sitting here tonight. Me and John Mitchell preaching a meeting. The inviters come hold a camera in the first time. They done put up $5,000 to have the meeting. We went out there. And the little preacher got scared. Gonna be a fight. I said, praise God, man. Man, we're gonna have a fight. I had Danny Farley to help me. He's there. And he had the old man, had Papa with me. I said, man, I know he ain't gonna have a Papa around. Man, he suffered a nail. My name's just Chip. Y'all meet the old man. I said, my soul. Me and John Mitchell slept on the floor. They didn't even give us a bed. They invited John. He drove 750 miles. They spent $125 that meeting. They gave me $50 and him $75. And the preacher said, could y'all come back next year? I said, yeah, book it. I want to shoot at him again.
This thing's exciting. You said, I never would have went back. Man, I'd have went back just for the fun of it. Man, I wanted to get back. I said, you don't mean to stay over to Sunday, do you? They called him in the office. Brother Gene Pereira was there. They called that preacher in the office. They said, how much money? I drove 375 miles, took four of these boys with me to sing. How much did you give him? I said, give him $50. How much did you give John Mitchell? I said, give him $75. He comes 750 miles. What do you mean giving them God's money away? That independent, fundamental Baptist preacher with a doctor's degree sat there and said, well, I just prayed about it. And I thought that's what I ought to do. And one of them guys was crazy with Gene Pereira. Does any of y'all know Gene Pereira? Hey, man, leave Gene Pereira alone. The last thing you want with Gene Pereira is a fight. You say he's little. Yeah, but he's crazy. This guy pulls out a big knife. He's a deacon. He said, let me tell you something. Gene pulled his coat back. He had a six-shooter on. He said, don't let that thing get you killed, old man. He thought, oh, you said I wouldn't go around. Now I like it. That's exciting. I don't have to go home and watch Tom Miss. This is exciting. Man, I don't need to see gun smoke. Rest God, if you please, kill smoke. Amen. Yeah, it's exciting. The battle is exciting in the Lord's work. Praise God. What's going to happen next? That was a time. Hey, that was a time when we were militant people. Hey, that was a time when we were men. God help. God help. A little old sick preacher that claims that God called him and said, Brother Wood, I got two ladies in my church. You little squeaky, get out. Get out. Go home. Get your wife to sew some ruffles on your drawers. Get out, man. Oh, but Brother Wood, they're influential. I run 2 millionaires off 1 week. Two of them. And praise God when they left. One of them said, I'm going to whoop you. I said, you just tried the old man last week. And that didn't work out good. And he's old. So I think, you won't believe this. This guy runs my old daddy and told him, said, you know what I'm going to do? You have boy, bam! That big 240-pound man laying like that. That little 190-pound, 5'7", old, ancient man. He stretched out there like a bull hog. No man said, keep your hands off of me. You say, don't you know you ain't supposed to fight at church? Paul said, I fought a good fight. You said, that's... You said, Brother Wood, that's spiritually talking. I thought you believed the King James Bible. Come on. Where did you get to spiritualize in the Bible? Why don't you do like the odd millennial and spiritualize the throne and the virgin birth and all the rest of it? Paul said, I fought a line. I'm trying to tell you they were men. He didn't fight the CLA and said, would you please get me out of this mess that I'm in? Thank you. Thank you. He didn't jump on the government. But I'm going to tell you when the government got him in jail. And I don't know. Brother Pete and these theologians could tell you. But he said, greetings from the church that is in Caesar's Palace. You know, I know that God ordained every word in that Bible. That's the reason Paul said, the Lord put me in the ministry. And he used some words that antagonized the Roman Empire. The word ministry. They said, are you on the ministry of finance? He said, no, I'm in the ministry. They said, is that the ministry of agriculture? He said, no, it's a ministry. Then he used that word, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He used those words, I am an ambassador. And that infuriated the king. But hey, we're talking about a warrior. Ain't talking about no sissy. Amen, amen, amen. remember the excitement when we were men. I tell you. You know, I've been in this thing a while, and I've watched some men, boy, I've watched them do some things that were just marvelous. I watched old Brother Olaf. One of them girls told some of them big leaders out there, one of his girls said, "You know, you like to, I think y'all just kill my daddy." One of them men said, "Yeah, he liked to kill the Southern Baptist Convention out of too." I mean, he was marvelous. I mean, he didn't get around the bush about it. Brother Lester knew one thing, attack with a 23-pound hammer. And he worked on it, man. I was a member of his church. I went to his church. We used to have Saturday night prayer meeting, all lay down and pray and cry. He wasn't no big shot. He had a little country preacher just got tamed. He'd lay down on them floors and pray and cry. Tom, you worked for him. Worked for him for years. Last time I talked to him, he said, "Brother Tim, you was right there with me." Brother Tim and I called him about a situation, about the King James Bible, and he said, "Brother Jack," he said, "I believe me and you better go back out to old Sand Hill where we started. Get us a jug of water and fast and pray about 5 days and find out what God wants to do about this thing." But he said, "I'll give you my word, Jack." So he turned around and tell that young preacher right there. He turned around and tell him, "When they have the fellowship meeting in Chattanooga, I'll take care of it." And I just want to ask you a question, what did he do? He got up like a man. He got up like a man and said, "You've attacked my mother." And bless God, he attacked them. We're talking about a man. Wasn't but 140 pounds of him, but he's a man. Boy, you said, "I'd like to be a preacher like him. Bucket of water, King James Bible, prayer to God, make you the same kind of man." 4 o'clock, I used to sleep in that little apartment at 4 o'clock in the morning. The Lord came in. 4 o'clock that morning, he says he watched about 4 o'clock, he came in. He never read his Bible at a desk like some preachers do. He read his Bible on his knees. He opened that Bible, laid down there, got on his knees. He'd read that Bible for 3 hours, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, he'd reach over, turn on that microphone, and preach what he studied that morning. He did it every day, all of his life. He said, "Jack, you got to preach out of some overflow." He said, "Just keep soaking in that Bible." And he said, "God will give you something to preach." Man, I tell you, we've seen some men in our time. We've seen some men. Now, I want to say this tonight. You need to remember the excitement in the midst of the battle. You know, I think about David, and I think about all those great warriors. But I remember, I read somewhere where the 32nd Wisconsin during the Civil War had a big eagle. And they said that eagle got the life in the battle so much that every time a cannon would fire, that eagle would just fly up in the air and just scream. And they said them guns would be blazing and men would be dying. And they said that eagle just scream and just love the battle. And they said when the battle was over, he grieved himself to death for another battle. Well, we're running from the battle. We're running from the little battle that we got. And somebody runs up to me and says, "Oh, Brother Wood, I had 3 people to leave last Sunday, and I ain't got but 45. That's a whole lot to give account to God for." I'm telling you, 45 people is a whole lot of people to give account to God. And if you can't be faithful with 45, God will never give you no more. If you run from them 45, he ain't going to give you 200. Because you've got 2 devils in them 45, you get 200, you got 8 devils. And they multiply quick.